Josh Bertaccini joining us, the voice of that part of the country.
I've been waiting a long time for this.
The moment you've been waiting for.
JB, maybe you can do commentary live.
And the show that everyone's been talking about.
Not the game that I go out there and die for and play every game like it's my last.
It's time for the real NWA JB.
At least I work someplace that you can find when you're looking for it.
Follow, watch, and listen across social media at the real NWA JB.
Okay, all right. Because it's all about the little things.
Streaming live on YouTube, Podbean, and worldwide at TheRealNWAJB.com.
You were man on fire last night on the post game.
You've started your day in the right way. Let's talk sports.
This is prime time television here, folks.
Here's your host, Josh Bertaccini.
Rock and roll, and let's talk some sports on the digital radio. Let's do it. How are you? Day off to a decent start. It's a Thursday. We're hanging out. We're talking some sports with y'all for 90 minutes, getting caught up. 90 minutes sounds about right, doesn't it? About 90 minutes catch up on the wide world of sports. Always a Razorback focus around here. You can listen to the show on Podbean. That's our digital radio station of choice. HD quality. Still bells and whistles that we're working through. You got some folks like, it's just not there yet, right? There's things about it that are just not there yet. But we are fighting the good fight. And piece by piece, we're trying to make this thing better every day. And we'll get there. We're on our way now. It's going to take us a minute. But we will get there, my friends. We will get there. Indeed. I believe it. I think it's possible. And I think we're getting closer. April 18th, 2024 on the calendar. It is shortly after 7 o'clock. If you're listening live, it is any time on God's green earth that you want it to be. If you're listening back on the post-show podcast later, we're going to talk some football today. Question of the day is up. I mean, you know it's that time of year. End of April, into May. We'll definitely hang out till the end of the baseball season in June. My deal for the last 15, 20 years in this state has been go as hard as you can from August to June and then collapse in July. Right. And usually not doing too many live shows in July. I have a feeling it's going to be the same way around this time around, but we got 2 months left of plug into the finish line. And I know the students and the teachers listening are thinking the same thing. And they got 5-6 weeks left themselves. Some cases a little more or a little bit less. We'll get there. April's a grind of a month, isn't it? I was talking about that with Miss Megan up over the coffee early this morning. But it's so true that April is an underrated grind month. And yet it gets warmer and we're all antsing for the start of spring and the flowers and the, you know, the better weather. I get it. That's all true. But you don't get those flowers in May without the April showers, right? And even though, you know, you get a little bit of rain and that's what people talk about, what about the nonstop grind that doesn't stop in April? It just keeps going. You got those couple days of spring break as a teaser and then you get back into it and you're like, oh my goodness, when will it be over? Well, soon. Soon, my friends. Not there yet, but soon. And goodness gracious, the allergies, the pollen. We got to do something about this. All right, getting after it. How many wins for Arkansas Razorback football next year, regular season? I want to hear the bowl game stuff, Larry. I got Larry on Facebook first thing today. 7-6 and another Liberty Bowl win. Right now, first of all, Liberty Bowl win sounds good. Second of all, if you read the question, and a lot of this in life comes back to reading, you know, absorbing information, making sure that you are consuming what you want to consume. And that you're doing it in a constructive way, that you're not only reading certain words. I want a 12-game regular season, Larry. I don't want the Liberty Bowl. I don't want they're going to get to 8 with a bowl win. I'm talking 12 games next year. How many wins? It's hard to speculate, especially if you didn't get to see any spring football. Because if that was the case, and judging by the attendance at the spring game, for many of y'all, it definitely was, then you're not really sure what they're working with right now. Still a little bit of work to do for sure in the transfer portal. But by and large, this is Taylen Green's team, and Bobby Petrino giving it an infusion of confidence and belief. And we'll see how it all plays out. I don't think it's easy to suddenly up your ante, to lift your bottom line watermark in the SEC from, what were they last year, 4-8 overall, 1-7, I believe, in the league. They did beat Florida. I still don't know how that happened, but Florida was really bad too. Billy Napier's got to still be kicking himself for that one, because Arkansas was headed into freefall mode, and Florida couldn't beat him on its own turf in the swamp. I mean, my goodness. But I digress. 4-8 last year was not good. What will be considered good here in 2024? You're going to have to tell me. 5, 6, 7, 8, somewhere around there on the win total. I think 8-4 sounds like delirium, slightly deranged and delusional. I don't know how you look at this defense right now. And I know the schedule next year appears to be, more favorable because you're playing those juggernaut games at home and you don't have to play Alabama. Yeah, I mean, I get the argument that you're going to be better, but 8-4 better? I thought you'd go 4-8 to 8-4. I do worry if they go 8-4, Hunter Yurecek will throw a long-term gazillion-dollar extension contract right into Sam Pittman's wheelhouse, and he'll be the coach forever. Because we remember what happened the last time they went 8-4. Yurecek gave him the golden handcuffs, which he promised he would never do. But 8-4, I mean, that was enough for golden handcuffs for Hunter. Whatever the case. Hogs try to get better. Incrementally. I'm looking ahead at the schedule for next year. Let's not forget, you got yourself a pretty rugged schedule. Look at DeJuan here on the tweet machine. This is why I don't like to look at the social media or the chat room too early, but you guys have caught my attention here. DeJuan saying JB has already turned to the how many wins conversation. You know it's summertime. When? Hashtag love the show. Hashtag the real WAJB. You're not 100% wrong. I think you're a touch quick to make that argument, a touch, but you're not 100% wrong. Once we break the how many wins conversation out, it is an indicator that we're headed into summertime USA. You're not wrong. At the same time, I think you're able to have that conversation a couple of times over, at least, before the season starts, as you try to make some sense of what's about to come. What did I have Arkansas last year? 7-5, 8-4. I think we were all a little bit off on that one. Sam Pittman thinks they're a better football team. We played the sound for you after the spring game the other day. Hogs will open it up with Pine Bluff on a Thursday night. That schedule change made official last Friday if you missed it. It's a smart move. You give yourself more of an opportunity to be fresh, headed into Oklahoma State on the road, which on September 7th, and my goodness, now we're only 3.5 months away, but you know, about 100 days from now, a little over that, Arkansas is in Stillwater for a crucial non-con ball game there with the Cowpokes and Mike Gundy's crew in the house that T-Boone's Oil Money built. And I'm excited for it. And that's a beautiful little campus they have there in Stillwater. For anybody who's not been there, it's a sharp campus. It's relatively new. I don't dig the faded burnt orange so much, but you know what? They got a lot of facilities. Like I said, a lot of love from the alums and the booster money and the oil money, and it reflects that. Their stadium I've not been inside of yet. So I'm actually looking forward. I think that's going to be our road trip next year. Either that or Auburn. But Arkansas at Oklahoma State in game number two, and I know it's not an SEC game. I know SEC games mean that much more, but I think at Oklahoma State on September 7th has clearly got the attention of Sam Pittman and Hunter Yurecek, and Arkansas is doing whatever it can right now to give itself a slight advantage heading into that game. And now I'm of the mindset that that game, in a way like the BYU game this past year, is going to be a critical contest, just one of those games that you have to find a way to win. And if you don't, much like the BYU game, I think it puts you into a very wary, kind of trepidatious spot early on. Now, I'll say this too. One thing that I think helps Arkansas here as the season gets going, you have not the easiest of road games to start it out for Oklahoma State. They will, okay, it's not a road game, but they do play a tough opponent in week one. Why does it say at there? I think that's just a typo. South Dakota State is the opponent for Oklahoma State in game one. That's a Saturday game. They are at home in that game. I'm like, are they really going to South Dakota? Nah. But South Dakota State, I mean, you're talking about one of the best teams in the 1AA ranks, and they have been a proud football team for a while. They've kind of carried the mantle forward a little bit from North Dakota State as maybe the best team currently at that level. I know my father-in-law and mother-in-law, longtime North Dakota State season ticket holders, and I know Mama Llama is a Bison alum too, so she's not going to like it. But I think South Dakota State now has really established itself. I mean, they're the two-time defending national champions at the 1AA level. So the Jackrabbits are a scary team. That's an advantage for Arkansas that I haven't heard anybody else talk about yet, because I don't think anybody really takes, you know, North Dakota and South Dakota that seriously unless you live in those states. You're from the Great White North. You're like, are those real places? They are, and they actually have really good in-between football teams. Not big enough to be Power 5 conference football teams, not small enough to be D2 or NIA, but you do have those programs up there too. Because athletes got to play, baby, and schools need players, and so on and so forth. In this sports-driven economic engine world of ours here in the U.S. of A., here in 2024. So I think you look at Oklahoma State's start to the season and Arkansas' start, tip the cap to the Hogs. I think they gave themselves, by moving that game up 2 days, I don't know, a decided advantage, but a nice little extra advantage going into the game. Now, is that enough to win the game on its own? Obviously not. Obviously not. You're going to have to play a good football game to beat South Dakota State, and it won't be easy for Oklahoma State in that game. So I think they get beat up. They're not playing Alabama. Let me get a hold of myself. But that's the kind of Jackrabbit team with a lot of pride, a lot of returning players. They're supposed to be good again next year. They recruit well. They're going to give Oklahoma State their money's worth, at least for a half. And if you're Arkansas watching that game, like they obviously will be, probably as a team, you got to look for every advantage that you can find. And that's one of those places where I hope and believe, for Razorback fans, that Bobby Petrino comes in and gives you more of an edge. Because he is a great game planner. And you know he's going to look at that cowpoke defense that Mike Gundy trots out there against South Dakota State. And he's going to look for everything that works against them, and he's going to maximize that kind of stuff and put in the game plan for the Hogs. Oklahoma State, by the way, after Arkansas, goes not very far down the road from Stillwater, 1 hour, right? Basically a home game. But they play Tulsa. Pretty soft start for them, right? Ish. But also semi-competitive. And then they play Utah. Wow. At Kansas State. And then the schedule's just totally different with these new conferences, so I'm going to leave it alone. But the point was, Oklahoma State does not have a cakewalk in its first game. Arkansas clearly does, against a Pine Bluff team that it led, what was it, like 50 or 60 to nothing at the half a couple years ago. It's a glorified scrimmage, but you played in Little Rock, and I don't get to complain too much about the rigmarole of the trip back and forth to the Rock now, because Sam Pittman already addressed that ahead of time, looked at the schedule and fixed that. That's a head coach. That's what I need to say. Intervene and help your team wherever you can, right? And that's a spot where he did exactly that. We don't need to play Pine Bluff on Saturday night in the late August heat at 6 o'clock in Little Rock and then get back at, you know, 5 in the morning on a Sunday. And now it's Monday or Tuesday and we're still recovering from that game. We got to get ready for Oklahoma State. So now you do that stuff on Thursday. By Saturday, Sunday, I mean, you're feeling fresher. You're feeling pretty good. You're watching some stuff together as a team, and Monday, Tuesday, it is just full on. You're feeling great, and you're getting ready for Stillwater. Back to the Hogs schedule for next year, because I'm enjoying this conversation out the gates. Josh Bertoncini with you in studio. You're in the Bunker Studio on Team B Media. So good to have you on board. as we hang out just a couple miles from the UA campus here in Fayetteville, Arkansas. USA, the center of the Razorback universe, my friends, indeed. And our question of the day, framing our opening monologue here today, how many wins are you working with for Arkansas Razorback football next year? First time we're getting to have this chat in a while, certainly post-spring. And 12-game season only, Larry. 12-game season only. I'm just crushing Larry today. Love you, buddy. 5, 6, 7, 8 wins. We'll put those on the board. Back to the Hog schedule just to show all my cards here before the break. Then we'll come back, get a little bit more into the baseball. Arkansas sweeping Texas Tech midweek. Isn't it amazing, on a side note, how midweek doesn't matter until they win, and it matters. But when the Hogs lose a midweek game, well, then it doesn't matter, right? It's fun. All right, Hog football schedule. Pine Bluff to start, 1-0. At Oklahoma State, crossroads of the season. Alabama, Birmingham in week 3. So you're 2-1 at the least. Let's just say you lose to Oklahoma State now, all right? Let's not go rah-rah superfan, drink the Kool-Aid 3-0. So let's say you're 2-1. But I'm going to say you play competitively at Oklahoma State. The spread in that game will be very interesting, too. I probably favor Oklahoma State right now on paper by 7.5 points. Right now. Doesn't mean Arkansas can't win the game. I think State's probably around the touchdown favorite. And I would expect that spread to diminish, to get tighter as we get closer to that contest. Game 4 at Auburn. How about that? When I saw that this morning before the show, getting ready for it, I remembered that Arkansas had recently made the trip to Auburn, that it was surprising that it came so early on the schedule. But, you know, it goes to show you again, with the expanded SEC slate, a lot of stuff did have to get moved around. So the Auburn game is not coming in October or November. It's September 21st, first day of fall at Auburn. That's a tough game in week 4 against a Brian Harsin-led team that a couple of years ago was no good. They beat you, right? Remember that? Harsin was just a trashy coach, and he found a way to win that game 2 years ago. Obviously, at this point in time now, they're rocking and rolling with Hugh Freeze. They beat you again last year. I think Freeze has shown, even at Liberty, as Sam Pittman's number. I worry about that game, too, in week 4. So I'm going to say you're 2-2. This is just J.B. Riffin first glance here. Don't take it personally. But I'm thinking Arkansas 2-2. And then you play A&M in hopefully the last House of Horrors game ever. I know I've said that for years, but I believe the contract does expire after this year. And according to everything I can gather, including what the athletic directors of each school are saying, Russ Bjork for A&M and Hunter Yurcheck for Arkansas, that will be the last time that game is in Jerry World. That doesn't mean Arkansas can't play there or utilize that facility for recruiting purposes to play some really cool non-con game at some point. But I mean, good Lord, the SEC are already playing so many juggernauts. I don't know how often you want to do that. Maybe once in a while. Clearly, the luster is worn off of that. A&M is, you know, since that one got played in Jerry World, just tended to dominate, particularly after the first few games went Arkansas's way. All right, so A&M to end September. Obviously, you know, the Aggies in a spot where they are starting over with Mike Elko. I think Arkansas wins that game. I say that often, but I think they win it and get a Jerry World victory to their credit. That would be 3-2. Tennessee at home on October 5th. I think you win that one too. I don't think Tennessee's great. They took a step down last year under Heupel. Let's go 4-2 into a bye. That would be an outstanding start. See, you can lose a couple of those games early on. You probably will. But if you're 4-2 into a bye, even 3-3 is still competitive and hanging in there. Out of the bye week, October 19th, home for LSU. What a loaded home schedule we have next year. This is just great stuff. LSU on October 19th. On homecoming, I think it's the first time you played LSU on homecoming ever, would be my guess. And I think you win that one, too. Let's see him beat LSU. They'll have a new quarterback. You get to 5-2 at Mississippi State. They stink. Falling apart at the seams. Got to imagine that after a 7-3 disgusting home loss to that terrible state team last year, you find a way to get in there and get some vengeance there. Get that back. You'd be 6-2. Ole Miss in Fayetteville gives you an advantage, but Kiffin always seems to out-scheme Sam Pittman a little bit, doesn't he? Let's say 6-3. You get a second bye week next year. Then you're home for Texas. They're really good right now. And Sark has got their recruiting rolling, and you crushed them last time. I'm going to pick a loss there. 6-4, even though it's going to make everyone's skin crawl. JB picked him to lose. He's just riffing on football, giving you some food for thought here. In mid-April, we got a few months till these games start going down. Louisiana Tech will be competitive on Saturday, November 23rd, military appreciation game, but you will win that. And that would get you to what, 7-4? And then at Missouri to close. They were pretty good last year. That'll be a Black Friday game, November 29th. And that's your final game of the regular season. I mean, they've owned you. I'll pick Missouri to win that game. 7-5. Like 7. I can see 7. Was I generous in spot? Sure. Do you need to be sometimes in life? Absolutely. And I can see that working. I can see that working. All right, we're having some fun with it. Conversation is rolling. Josh Bertaccini with you, Bunker Studio. How many wins for your Hogs next year? We come back. Let's do some baseball. Arkansas Razorback baseball coming through with a couple of high-quality midweek wins. Texas Tech, not the best team. Their pitching is not good. But resilient. Gutsy. Bounce back ability. This team's got it in spades. We'll talk about it right after this.
Hello, this is Tim Stanley, owner of TDSIT. You've known me only up in Northwest Arkansas, but now I bought Business World down in Little Rock. We expanded in 2023, and now we're moving the business to a new location in North Little Rock, May 1st. I'm excited about our reputation for high-quality service, products, and support in Northwest Arkansas, and I'm thrilled that the Carlisle family chose me to buy this 45-year-old business in Little Rock, and we will continue building relationships and high-quality clients. We'll see you soon.
Builders Direct Lighting offers quality lighting products and solutions for all of your project needs. We buy directly from the manufacturer with no middleman in sight, passing the savings on to you, the customer. From a small office space to a large warehouse, indoor or outdoor, we do it all. Yes, we can even light your pickleball court. For more info, visit buildersdirectlighting.com or call 479-256-0461.
Herman's Rib House on College in Fayetteville, a tradition like no other around. When you're looking for the best steak, chicken, salmon, something for lunch or dinner, Herman's has your back. This year is their 60th anniversary, and the food keeps getting better. Perfect time to stop by and check out their revamped menu, the Dustin Omelette, a personal favorite. Herman's in Fayetteville. Follow them on Instagram or Facebook for more info. Stop by and grab some grub today at Herman's, celebrating its 60th year in business in 2024.
Hey folks, this is Matt Chambers with Blue Kangaroo Packouts. We know bad things happen, and we're here to help, taking care of your contents and possessions when disaster strikes. Covering Northwest Arkansas and North Central Arkansas and the River Valley, accidents and weather happen all the time. When it does, we have your back. Moving, cleaning, warehousing, cataloging, tracking inventory so you don't lose a single personal possession. More information is online at bluekangaroopackouts.com or give us a call at 479-879-9696.
At Team B Media, supporting local business is what we are all about. Northwest Arkansas is one of the fastest growing regions in the country and one of the best places to live. We are proud to be a small part of its infrastructure. We have a passionate, enthusiastic audience who support local sports and business. For a cost-effective way to advertise your company's message to engage local consumers, contact us at Team B Media today.
Northwest Arkansas Naturals single game tickets are on sale now at nwanaturals.com. Tickets range from $9 to $17 depending on the game, so enjoy low-cost family entertainment at Arvis Ballpark all summer long as the Naturals regular season extends through September 15th. For a complete game schedule, a list of upcoming promotions, and to buy tickets, visit nwanaturals.com.
Golden Corral of Fayetteville features a legendary endless buffet for breakfast, lunch, and dinner to feast the fam or to feast yourself. Enjoy over 150 menu items. Their all-you-can-eat steak is my favorite. Hand-cut USDA top sirloin. Their bakery game is strong, too. You name it, they got it, and they make it good. Golden Corral, a place with something for everyone at a good price. Conveniently located where college meets Maine in Fayetteville.
When you think Hogs, think JB. Weekday mornings live here on Team B Media.
So good to have you on board. Follow, listen, watch, subscribe at The Real NWAJB. You got us there on YouTube. Josh Bertoncini, check it out. And we're growing every day for you there. Question of the day today. How many wins for Razorback football next regular season? How many wins for Razorback football next regular season? We just got this posted up. First couple hundred votes are in. I'll just say the vote is it's widespread. There is much belief that it is possible any number of different things could happen. Baseball. You got Arkansas sweeping Texas Tech. The Hogs come away with a dub. They rally for the win. Two straight games. I mean, this is just what they do. They play low-scoring games generally, although 9-8 wasn't super low-scoring, but 5-4 yesterday was. They play low-scoring games. They pitch well. They show a knack for some clutch hitting, especially at home. And how about the Bomb Walker win streak, which is now up to 25 straight games? They have won 25 consecutive home games, folks. 25 in a row. And yesterday, Red Raiders coming out, trying to make up for blowing a 7-0 lead the day before. They take a 3-2 lead through five innings of play. It's looking like maybe it's not Arkansas's day. And sure enough, two in the bottom of the sixth. And how did Arkansas rally and get this thing going in their favor? How did they do it? They did it with some small ball. They did it with bunting. They did it with a sack fly. I'd like to see them send more runners, but how about it? And just great execution. Jack Wagner playing one day after getting crushed with a fastball on the hand, delivers a huge sack fly. Hogs take the lead. 4-3, and add a little insurance in the eighth, and then hold on for dear life in the ninth, 5-4, as Stone Hewlett gives up a rocket home run. A couple guys in the pen have been a touch up and down of late, but Cody Frank looked good. Dossett looked great. That was probably his best outing of the year. 2 2/3 shutout innings in the middle. Faraday got shut out before losing command again. Speaking of losing command, and I had great seats for this game. Shout out to my boy Jay Hundley coming through there, but we were right there down the first baseline, a couple rows behind the dugout. One of the scariest things I've seen in a long time, Jason Jones gets drilled, absolutely crushed with a fastball there from, I think it was Cole Cass in the middle frames, and he gets hit in the helmet. He drops. I mean, I know you're wearing a helmet, but that's still really scary. They checked him out. He stayed in the game. He was okay. Man, what a scary moment that was. I think they let him put a pinch runner in, and then Jones was still in the game later. So he was all right, but Texas Tech, not a lot of pitching, and man, their guys were wild, and they were not afraid to throw hard and high and tight. And, I mean, the Hogs got crushed the last couple days. Multiple players getting dinged. And so I don't like that. Wagner gets dinged. Jones gets hit twice yesterday. Was it Hull who got hit the other time? I mean, you're lucky you didn't come out of this weekend of baseball, or midweek series, I should say, of baseball without any more significant injuries, because you definitely could have. Stovall with a great diving catch for you to help preserve the lead. Guy's been outstanding since getting back in the lineup. And Arkansas wins again, 5-4, 32-5 for the Hogs so far this year. 32-5. And at home, they have basically been invincible. Like, you can't beat this team. They're too good. They find ways to win games. Next up, at South Carolina, you get three games with SC this weekend. Hogs will try to do a little better than they did last weekend when the offense did not go with them, did not travel to Tuscaloosa. And we'll see what happens. Looking forward to it as we hang out for a People's Postgame Show, ETA 5 o'clock on Saturday night. Round six here for baseball. And yeah, we're on to the back half of the college baseball season already. It's unbelievable. Hogs rolling. Number two or three in the country, depending on where you look, and certainly number one in the hearts and minds of most of our listeners. Basketball, and nobody yet after Big Z, right? We're waiting for names to start falling out of the sky, kind of. We just want them to drop and fall left and right. But it's not going to happen like that. And it's going to take a little time. Right now you're seeing John Calipari take his time getting the roster to where he wants it to be. And he'll get it there. You got a 7'2" center already. I think you're feeling okay about that. You know what I mean? Hoops last night. Playing games. Getting a lot of talk here in JB land. You know I'm going to do that as the basketball guy. Plus my Knicks are the 2 seed and they will get to play the Philadelphia 76ers, y'all. How about them apples? New York and Philly. It's an I-95 Jersey Turnpike matchup. And Embiid back for the Sixers. They beat the Heat by a point last night. Game did not come down to the final shot. Jimmy Butler might have torn his MCL in that game. Sixers win. They'll play the Knicks. Bulls beat the Hawks last night. So they're into the playoffs as well, as they will get the 8 seed. Good luck with Boston. So Chicago versus Boston and New York, Philly. How about those matchups? Big cities getting together for those games, y'all. So the Hawks will play the Heat. No, the Hawks are out of that now, correct? So there you go. So this whole thing is confusing, is it not? With the play-ins, you're like, this game's elimination. That game's not elimination. Tonight, Bulls Heat, it's an elimination game. That's what I thought. Also, Kings Pelicans tonight, elimination game as well. So I don't really do elimination games, kind of like, and I know I'm a hoops guy, but kind of like those pigtail games at the NCAA tournament. I don't really take them that seriously. Like, if you're good enough, you should already be in a real spot. But whatever, you're playing extra games. 6 o'clock tonight, ESPN, it's content. And then TNT Kings Pelicans comes your way at 8:30. How about the baseball slate out of yesterday? Royals doubleheader with the White Sox. You win one, you lose one. 4-2 and 2-1, your finals there. Cards get doubled up by the A's, 6-3. And the Rangers beat the Tigers 5-4. Mets have won 10 out of 12, thank goodness, over the Pirates 9-1. Metsies are 10-8 now overall. And I'm just waiting for Heston Kerstad to get the call-up, a la the Clash, the call-up to the major leagues, because he is raking and was just named the AAA Offensive Player of the Week. So there you go on that. All right, we are cruising and having some fun as we barrel our way through a sports morning. And thank you so much for listening to the show. Josh Bertaccini with you in studio. And our good friend Phil Stanton set to join us after the break at Road to Omaha on the tweets, collegebaseballinsider.com founder and creator. And we'll get some thoughts out of him on the college baseball scene, Arkansas and beyond, as we get ready for the Hogs and South Carolina Gamecocks this weekend. Take a quick timeout. We come back catching up with Phil Stanton and finding out about Arkansas's number one national seed prospects and more right after this. Hang tight.
When it's time for a cut, you have to go to The Cave. It's a men's grooming and lounge experience like no other barber shop. Located on J.B. Hunt Drive in Rogers, just off of exit 83 on I-49, individual haircuts, group packages, and if you're getting ready for a wedding or a big occasion, get your weekend started right. Brand new location coming to downtown Springdale soon as well. Online more info, cavemannwa.com, or like on Facebook at The Cave NWA. We'll be right back.
Lack of teamwork, failure of communication, overall disappointment. I'm not talking about your favorite basketball team's performance in March. I'm talking about your marriage. If you're getting divorced, don't listen to the myths about custody and child support. Call me, Jackie Mock, at Mock Legal Solutions to discuss your rights and options. 479-769-1505. Mock Legal Solutions. Real advice, reasonable price.
Everyone wants Christmas lights, but when the holidays get here, money's always tight. But don't you want your business to stand out? Don't you want the prettiest house on the block? That's where Lion Chasers Lighting steps up to the plate and hits you a home run. Hassle-free installation, maintenance, removal, and storage. Because who wants to deal with this stuff in January, right? Now offering monthly payment plans year-round. Lion Chasers Lighting. Call 479-283-2760. Now go chase a lion. Spring and summer mean road trip fun, and the adventure starts at Adventure Subaru in Fayetteville. Located just off exit 65 on I-49, Adventure Subaru has phenomenal inventory of new and pre-owned vehicles, and all their vehicles have four-wheel drive, so you can take them where you need to go. Adventure Subaru is locally owned and has won multiple awards for community involvement. See for yourself why their customer ratings are through the roof. Adventure Subaru in Fayetteville. Online, AdventureSubaru.com. See things in a better light with the folks at New Light Electric. Residential and commercial services. They do remodels and additions, electrical upgrades and repairs, LEDs, installation of hot tubs, vehicle charging stations, and more. If you're looking for the folks who have the best touch, these guys are the lighting experts. They literally do it all, and they can add some light to your life, too. New Light Electric. Like them on Facebook or call 479-220-2836. Dr. Mark Olson has been providing top-notch patient care in Northwest Arkansas for decades. His new office location, exit 69 off I-49 on Willow Creek Drive, is more convenient and accessible than ever. Find out today about the benefits of natural hormone and thyroid treatment. Get your energy back. Dr. Olson is also providing medical marijuana certificates for patients with diagnosed medical conditions. For patient care like no other, it's Olson Clinic in Johnson. Online, olsonclinic.com.
Shogun of Fayetteville for a special experience every time. Best Japanese cuisine around, they have it all. The sushi is top-notch, but everyone's talking about their hibachi grill. The chefs are incredible. It's delicious and entertaining at the same time. For recruiting, celebrations, or just a good old date night, Shogun of Fayetteville has never let me down. With the scenic view of Fayetteville from the hill by the mall, full menu online, ShogunFayetteville.com.
Talking sports since before internet was a thing. Here's your guy, Josh Bertaccini.
There you go. Good conversation on a number of different fronts here today as we have talked a lot of Arkansas Razorback baseball, certainly, in the course of the conversation here today. The Hogs coming through with a couple of midweek wins against Texas Tech and finding themselves now as we push our way into the latter stages of the SEC season. Like, they're still a contender. They've still got a great chance here at getting themselves a top national seed, if not number one overall, something. And how good can it be? We'll find out now as we talk with our good friend Phil Stanton, who is at Road to Omaha on the Twitter machine, collegebaseballinsider.com, and college baseball guru. And he joins us for some talk now here on this Thursday. Mr. Phil, great to hear your voice. How are you, my friend?
JB, I am doing wonderful. Hope you are as well.
I am. Spring is here, and that means it's full on, right, with baseball now as we turn to the back stretch of conference play already. Man, I always say to you, the season feels like it starts earlier and earlier, but man, it feels like it goes quicker and quicker too, doesn't it? My goodness.
It really does. And I think especially once you start into conference play, then it seems to go even faster because you have a better feel for your opponents. You've got that familiarity with them. And I think, you know, and then there's that anticipation each week of that upcoming series, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You get through Sunday and all of a sudden you're looking ahead to the next one. So I think once you get that conference play underway, it really does go quick.
100%. And look, if you're a good team, I guess it goes even quicker because you're just, you know, you're eager and antsy for the next game every time out. Let's start with Arkansas. I mean, obviously, when you talk sports with me around here, you know it's going to be hog focused. But I think any conversation about college baseball this year has to include Arkansas. They are as good as any team in the country. Number one for most of the year, number two or three, depending on where you look at right now. And let's be real, Phil. This Razorback pitching staff is ridiculously good.
They really are. They have kind of separated themselves from the rest of the teams, not only in the SEC, but in the country. They've got the number one ERA. They're fortunate that they have that ace, that number one stud in Hagan Smith. I think whenever you have, you know, one or two aces on the team, but at least one, that stabilizes your whole pitching staff. I think it makes everybody else comfortable. Coach Van Horn has always been really good with defining roles for pitchers. But I think once you have that ace, then you can kind of work down from there that everybody kind of falls into place. So, the pitching staff has just been fantastic. And it's been up and down the line. I mean, the guys who are able to throw in the midweek, there's some guys there that are going to be needed during the postseason. So it's great for them to be able to show well in those midweek games.
Oh yeah. And Texas Tech, national TV, ESPN2, a comeback win 9-8. And then two nights ago, and then last night, right, SEC Network for a 5-4 comeback again. So you get two against Texas Tech, who, you know, maybe not a great team, but that's a good baseball program. And as we've talked many a time, those midweek games can definitely help you a little. And they don't usually give you the juggernaut matchups like that you had there. So good stuff for Arkansas in the midweek sweep. And now down the stretch you go. And I'm pulling up the SEC standings here, and Phil, it's kind of confusing. Sometimes I can't make up whether I'm looking at the SEC standings or the national standings. But the top four teams in the country right now, Arkansas, A&M, Kentucky, and Tennessee, according to several of these polls, do you buy the SEC dominance that I'm seeing out there?
Absolutely. It's been interesting, especially those top four have kind of separated themselves in the East and West. Texas A&M, Arkansas look to be the class of the West, and it's interesting that they'll meet the last weekend of the season. So that more than likely is going to have ramifications for seeding in the SEC tournament. And then over in the East, Kentucky and Tennessee have separated themselves, and those two play this weekend in Lexington. So that's going to be real interesting to see, you know, to see how that one goes. Can Kentucky hold serve and be able to protect that home field?
I want to get back to Arkansas before we're done. You know I do. But how about just real quick, A&M, Kentucky, Tennessee. Which of those the biggest threat to beat Arkansas if they had to meet head-to-head in Omaha or something down the road? Who's the best of that trio of teams, do you think?
I think it's Texas A&M. Okay. And I think it's because of the pitching that they have. I mean, they're really solid offensively, but they've got the second-best team ERA in the country right now.
There you go.
I think they would be the toughest opponent.
But Kentucky's having one of those seasons so far that's right up there. I mean, my goodness, did you expect them to be this good this year? Maybe you did.
Well, not that good. No, I thought they could be maybe third in the East, but yeah. I didn't think that they would push their way. You know, in looking at it on paper going into the season, Florida looked so good, as well as Tennessee. So I really thought Kentucky was gonna fall behind them. Kentucky and South Carolina kind of jockey for positioning behind there, but Kentucky has played tremendous so far. And Arkansas will get to make a trip up to Lexington that first weekend in May. So that'll be another really interesting series.
Yeah, and I'm looking, let's not forget about Vanderbilt, who obviously is a juggernaut every year, and they might be down a little, but they're still ranked 13th. Bama looked good against Arkansas. They got a couple of starting pitchers who make them dangerous. They're ranked 18th. But it's not just SEC baseball, right, Phil? I know, East Coast representing. You wouldn't let me get away with it. Your boys at Virginia are 10th in the country. You got Duke and Clemson and Florida State in the top 10. I'm looking down. I see Wake Forest there. How about the ACC? If the SEC is number one, which I think we agree it is, the ACC is pretty clearly number two.
They are. And looking at their conference standings, they've not had any one team or two teams separate themselves. In the Atlantic Division, Clemson, Florida State, NC State, Wake Forest are all bunched up toward the top. In the Coastal, it's North Carolina, Virginia, Duke, Virginia Tech. So they're a little more balanced, I think, in that upper half. But clearly, in when you look at the polls, those two conferences are just dominating right now. So it's going to be interesting as we get into, I think, toward the postseason, how the NCAA is going to seed teams. Are they going to try to match up some SECs and ACCs so that you don't have everybody from the SEC and the ACC in Omaha?
Right.
I mean, it could be. It may be that eight best teams are out of those two conferences. But I think they'll want to look at maybe having the West Coast, having a regional, and maybe trying to protect a team out there to be able to get to Omaha.
That's insightful and true. I wouldn't even call that a conspiracy theory, Phil. That's just realistic. That's just realistic observation work there. I asked you the same question about the SEC. Who's the single best ACC team if you had to pick one?
So far right now, I think it's been Clemson. They stumbled this past weekend. They got swept by NC State, which was surprising, but they've played a really tough schedule. They always play a three-game series with South Carolina before conference play gets going. I think right now they're the best, the teams in the ACC. But like I say, as bunched up as they are, Clemson has Florida State this weekend.
Okay.
I take that back. They go to Wake Forest. They have Pitt this weekend. So not as big this weekend, but they've still got some tough series coming up. But so far they've been the most impressive team to me out of the ACC.
Oregon State, I mean, they played Arkansas in a battle earlier this year. We know that's a proud baseball program. Oregon's pretty good too. I mean, both the teams in that state are good. You mentioned the West Coast representation. There's not a lot of juggernauts out west this year. I think Oregon State's carrying the banner, don't you?
Right now they are. UC Irvine is trying to, but they're just they're not in the same level nationally. Oregon State right now really does look to be the best team in the West Coast. Arizona has gotten really hot right now. They may be a team to keep an eye on as we go through the rest of conference play, if they can maintain that. But up until right now, Oregon State's been the top of the teams out there in the West.
Best dark horse in the country, best non-Power 5 team is who?
I think it would be either East Carolina or Indiana State. East Carolina is a team that it seems like every year we say this is finally going to be the year that they'll be able to break through and get to Omaha. They look to me, the strongest team in the American. And then Indiana State had themselves in a position a year ago to host a regional. They have themselves in the top 10 again in the RPI. So I think those would be the two non-Power Fives, really to keep an eye on down the stretch.
Great stuff out of Phil Stanton, best Twitter handle of all time, maybe. Certainly in the college baseball world, at Road to Omaha, and that's exactly what we're talking about every time we catch up with him. collegebaseballinsider.com. Just great stuff. Let's get out of here in a second, Phil. Real quick, back to Arkansas. I mean, at home, almost invincible, right? And it's not like they're just bludgeoning people. They find ways to win games. Lower scoring usually, but comebacks often, including a comeback from 7-0 the other night I didn't see coming. But on the road, everybody's more vulnerable. What do you think? What's a weakness? When you look at Arkansas, that'll be my final question for you. People don't like it when I ask that question, but I need to. It's my job. If there's a weakness from an objective national guy like you about this Razorback team, about Dave Van Horn's crew, what would it be? Don't worry about hurting feelings. What would it be?
I think it would be whether the offense will be able to maintain against, you know, top level pitching. Like if they're when they go to Texas A&M, are they going to have enough offense? Are they going to be able to manufacture those runs to be able to win the games?
That's a good one.
I think that'll be the biggest thing. Batting average, not great, but they do a great job of drawing walks. So the on-base percentage is really high.
Mm-hmm.
As we've always talked through the years, the offense, they really have guys who come up with timely hits. And that's going to be the biggest thing. You know, do you get in a series where you're facing pitching that doesn't allow you to get those timely hits?
Yep. College baseball gets bigger and better and more entertaining and certainly more coverage nationally every year. Phil Stanton's been all over it since way before other folks got on that bandwagon. At Road to Omaha on the tweets, you know I'm going to holler at you again next month when we get into the thick of this thing down the stretch, okay? Great stuff. Get this up on the podcast, y'all, okay, right after the show. Phil, thanks for being such a good friend. Have a great rest of your week, okay?
I appreciate it, JB. You as well. Thanks.
Yep, we'll talk to you. He's fantastic. I love the vibes. And what a thorough feel for college baseball across the country out of him every time we have him on the show. All right. We are rocking and rolling, and we are an hour in. We need to break because Jermaine Petty wants to talk some spring football. We'll get it back to our question of the day today. JP got to hang out with me on Saturday, so we riffed on the game live, and we'll do it in front of y'all and talk about what we saw. It's a QB-heavy NFL draft coming up. I don't know if we're going to get there today, but certainly next week as we head into the NFL draft, I want to talk about what could be a pretty exciting first round. Question of the day, how many wins for the Hogs next year? Four options up on the board for you, 5, 6, 7, or 8. First few hundred votes are in. How about 6 getting 35% of the vote? 5 getting 30%. So that's 2/3 of it. 7 getting 24%. That's a chunk. And then what do we have? That's all we get is 11% for 8. Yeah, well, that would take a lot of things going right. Not that it's impossible, because anything is possible. As Kevin Garnett once said, Tiffany says, too early to say, JB. DB says, 6 minimum, please. Fake Wally, why no 10-plus choice? Dale, it's a 4 spot. How about the Facebook crew, facebook.com/TheRealNWAJB. Andy says 10-plus. Yeah, right. Kevin, I'm looking at 5 or 6. Steve, 6 or 7 in a bowl. Garrett, 12. Go Hogs, go. Okay. We're going to take that one off, Garrett, because you got to be a real person here. Jack, hoping for at least 7. Chuck, 5 or 6, maybe. A little more skeptical out of Chuck Ho in Greenland. Did we ask Chuck where the H-O comes from? I don't know if we did. Because I do not believe that is his last name. His last name is, I'm not going to say, I think it's Converse, right, Chuck? You got to explain the Chuck Ho to me. The kids are very curious about that. All right, great first hour. We're going to break now. When we come back, Jermaine Petty, the man, the myth, the legend himself. You are locked, loaded, and listening in the bunker on TB Media to your boy, Josh Bertoncini, as we do it for 90 minutes live each and every morning coming at you. Podbean stream, TheRealNWHJB.com, and of course, Apple, Spotify, iHeart, more on the post-show podcast. You know it. Let's take a break. JP next. Hang tight.